This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله It is a great honor for me to introduce our guest speaker for today It is none other than young مولانا زكريا النكر He is one of the graduates of دار العلوم العربية in Strand as well as one of the teachers and the lecturers there as well and also one of the khatib at Hidfield Masjid as well, inshallah. I think a further CV we can give after the lecture, inshallah. So without further ado, we call upon Mawlana Zakaria. Jazakumullah khairan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها حظا لغيرك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everyone today? Alhamdulillah. We start off as we always start, by saying Alhamdulillah. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the divine words that He taught us of Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, its meaning comprises of two parts. One is that of praise, and the other is that of gratitude. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say Alhamdulillah purely because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to whom that praise is due. I always like to give the example of a Ferrari, and I say it all the time. You may see a Ferrari driving past and you say, oh wow, what a nice car. You praise the car. The car didn't do anything for you. Maybe it doesn't belong to you. You're probably never even going to get to drive in the car. But because you see it as something that's praiseworthy, you praise it. So in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one to whom true praise is due. Thereafter, for all the bounties and ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, we say Alhamdulillah for that as well. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try and count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to do so. Thereafter, we send salawat and salam upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For it is through him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to traverse through this journey of the dunya to attain the good abode in the year after. That we may journey through this life and we may attain Jannah in the next life. That all our pleasures will be met there. All of our desires will be fulfilled there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this guidance to come through our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we start by saying, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. Thereafter, into our topic for this week, you know, thinking of a Jumu'ah topic is always something tricky. You have to take into mind the audience who will be listening. And you hope that the nasiha will be pertinent to those that are listening. Because nasiha isn't just me preparing a lecture and coming to stand here and convey some words to you, no. It's supposed to be that a message gets passed from my heart to the heart, my heart to the hearts of those that are listening. That perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may confer through that His blessings upon me and upon everyone else and those who listen as well. And so I reflected throughout the week what to speak about. And one reflection that came to mind is that oftentimes for us as youth, I'm still very young, I know that things said senior lecturer, there's no way I'm a senior lecturer. I'm very young. Alhamdulillah. But one reflection that came to mind is that we as youth oftentimes view piety as something distant from ourselves. We view being a chosen slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as something that's distant from us, that's something that's not for us. Not only the youth, but in general people view it as, you know, something specific to those people with long beards and big turbans that sit and make dhikr the entire day. And oftentimes, this misconception that we have, it creates within us a despondence. It makes us think that we cannot ever achieve that state of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of being the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Islam, our beautiful way of life, is not a way of life of despondence. It's not a way of life of giving up hope. It's not a way of life where I'm merely to think little of myself at every moment in time. Well, yes, I may think little of myself because of my own shortcomings, but it's not a deen that lets me linger there and languish in that despondence. No, it's a deen where my hope is connected to my belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thought that, you know, addressing a jama'ah that comprises largely of youth, I wouldn't do my what I'd normally do in choosing a topic and having some facts and presenting a topical Jumu'ah. I thought to share with the Jama'ah today some qisas or some real life narrations of people that lived within this ummah, who will be examples for us for time immemorial of how we should place our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I perused through some books, Hilyatul Awliya of Fariduddin al-Attar, and Kitab al-Tawwabin of the great Hanbali scholar Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi. Therein they mention some stories, real stories, true stories about some of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'd be amazed to read what is kept in those books. What gems and jewels are hidden therein to give us guidance and to inspire us with hope. And to give stories, this is from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the Quran replete with stories, divine stories that are given to us to inspire us with hope, to console us, to make us journey through our weaknesses, to overcome them with hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the first one that I thought to share is that of the tawbah of Malik bin Dinar. Some may know the name, others may not. Those who know the name know Malik bin Dinar as a very pious person, one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the account that Ibn Qudama gives of Malik ibn Dinar, he says that Malik, listen to the story, I want you to be attentive now. Malik, he says that he was a policeman, but he wasn't a very good policeman. He was a drunkard as well. To that, people know him as a wali of Allah. But Malik was a policeman, not a very good policeman. He was given to drinking. He was a drunkard. He used to drink wine and become intoxicated. And he was into the niceties of this world. And so he had a slave girl, one that he valued very much. He thought her very beautiful. He got a daughter from this female slave of his. And he loved this young girl very much. He says, as she grew a little bit older and she started crawling, her love for him increased to an indescribable amount of love that he had for her. And what she would do is, whenever he would put some intoxicating drink, some wine in front of him, she would try and pull him away from that drink, and at times the drink would spill on his clothing. But still he loved her. At the age of 2 years old, that daughter was taken away from him and she passed away. Malik bin Dinar mentions that one year, on Laylatul Nisf min Sha'ban, on the middle of Sha'ban, which we know to be a night of blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at a time when he should have been performing his Aisha Salah, he says, I became intoxicated with drinking and I was knocked out because of that drink. I didn't perform Aisha Salah. Look how bad he is. Alhamdulillah, sometimes we still try to perform our Salah. Most of us aren't as bad as people that drink alcohol. But look at this man's state. He was a drunkard on the night of Nisf min Sha'ban. He says it was the night of Friday as well, Laylatul Jumu'ah as well. He found himself intoxicated to the point that he was knocked out. He drank so much wine that he fell unconscious. He didn't perform Aisha Salah. He says in that sleep, he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw that the trumpet was blown for the day of Qiyamah. He saw that the graves were being upturned. He saw that everybody was being gathered on the plains of Qiyamah. And he was amongst those people that were being gathered. Then all of a sudden he heard a snake behind him. And out of fear, he started running away from the snake. He said the snake was so huge that you cannot imagine how huge the snake was. And it was started rushing at him, slithering towards him with its mouth open. In a state of fear, he ran away. He ran away from the snake. Who wouldn't fear a huge snake trying to attack him? He ran and he ran. He said, as he was running, he came by a pious looking man. An old man that looked very pious. And he asked the old man, please save me from the snake. If you save me, then may Allah save you. The old man said, I'm too weak to help you. That snake will overpower me, I can do nothing for you. When he realized that he wasn't going to get help there, he carried on running. He says he ran and he ran until he came to a cliff. And upon that cliff, he overlooked the pits of Jahannam. He said he could see all of the terrors of Jahannam. The fire burning people. People's brains being boiled because of the heat of the sandals that they wore. But then he heard a cry from behind him saying, O Malik, don't proceed. You are not from its people. You are not from the people of Jahannam. When is he hearing this? In his state of being knocked out from drinking alcohol. A voice calls out, you aren't from the people of Jahannam. So he turns around and he runs back. And he passes by the old man again. The snake is still chasing him. He asks the old man again, please, please help me. The old man says, the pious looking old man says, I can't help you. I'm too weak. But he says to him, there's a mountain. Go to that mountain. You may find something in store to help you over there. So Malik, he says, he turns and he sees two peaks of silver. Mountains but made of silver. On that mountain there are domes made of pearls that have silk coverings covering the front of the domes. And each of these domes have in front of them pillars of red gold that are barring anyone from entry. He then runs towards the mountain, trying to seek help. And as he approaches, he hears a voice calling out, open up your gates, lift the veils. Someone is coming for help. Perhaps there is something in this mountain, in the stores of this mountain that can help him. The doors of the mountain open. This is all happening in the dream of this wali of Allah. And out rushes a wave after wave of children. The children rush out of this mountain. And amongst the children that rush out, he sees his little daughter there. And his daughter calls out, Wallahi Abi, by Allah, this is my father. She then takes his right hand with her left hand. And she stretches out her right hand towards the snake. And the snake runs away. The snake slithers away. Malik is perplexed. He's amazed. What's happening? How is this happening? So his daughter makes him sit down. And she sits in his lap and she starts playing with his beard. And she tells her father, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for those who believe, for their hearts to crumble out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has the time not come? Subhanallah. Malik is amazed. He asks his daughter, do you know the Quran? She died when she was 2 years old. She tells him, yes, we know the Quran. We know it better than you. To cut the story a bit short, as I want to convey to you another one. He asks his daughter, what was happening over there? Who is the old man? What was the snake? Why are you all in this mountain? She tells him, that snake that was so huge, that was your bad deed that you were feeding and you were feeding and you were strengthening all the while. That old man, he was representative of your good deeds, that you starved and so he was too to help you. And we, the children in this mountain, we are placed here, waiting for our parents to come on the day of Qiyamah, that we may intercede on their behalf. That we may try to bail them out from the punishment. Immediately Malik wakes up. He wakes up from his sleep. And he realizes at that moment, now is the time for me to turn back. Not tomorrow, now. So he turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That drunkard person who was, for lack of a better word, he was babalas. And he just woke up from that. In that state, he turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he became known, as people know him today, as Malik bin Dinar, the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A similar story is narrated of a person who's called Bishr ibn Harith, or Bishr al-Hafi. Bishr was also a drunkard. He was a person who lived a lavish life. And it's mentioned by Ibn Qudama in this book as well, Kitab al-Tawwabin, that one day Bishr was busy in his house having a party with some of his slave girls, and he was drinking some alcohol over there. Some pious man came to knock on the door. Some old man came to knock on the door and he asked, because Bishr didn't come to the door himself. A slave girl of his who was supposed to run an errand for him, she came to the door. So the old man asked her, is the owner of this house a slave or free man? She told him, of course he's a free man. He then told him, the old man told the slave girl, you are right. For if he was a slave, he would have feared his Lord. The old man then went away. And as the slave girl returned, Bishr asked her, delayed you? She then told him, an old man came and he had this strange conversation with me. Bishr had no shoes on at the time. But he wanted to see the old man, so he ran to the door. The old man had already left. So, in that state, barefooted, he ran out of his house. He caught up with the old man. Some mention it was Musa al-Kadhim. He caught up with the pious old man. And he asked the old man, what is it that he told the slave girl? He repeated to him the question. He asked, is the owner of that house a slave or a free man? And she responded that he's a free man. And he said then, well, that's correct. Because if he was a slave, then he would have feared his Lord. Upon hearing this, Bishr was so touched. He fell on his knees and he said, no, I'm a slave. Knowing, yes, I may be a free man in this world. I may be able to party as I want to in this world. But truly, I'm a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so at that moment, just after getting up from his table of drinking alcohol, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he made tawbah. Remember, he was barefooted at the time. And that's why in our books of history, he's known as Bishr al-Hafi, Bishr the barefooted one. Because from that moment, he refused to wear shoes. He loved to be in a barefooted state. And he mentioned why. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it fit to make me turn back to him in the state while I'm barefooted. How I love to be in the state that Allah loved my tawbah in. And so from now on, I will ever be barefooted. There's another account of his tawbah which mentions that while he was drunk, he saw a piece of paper with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim written on it, laying on the floor. While he was drunk, he picked that piece of up. Seeing that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on there, he went and he bought some expensive perfume. He then took that perfume and put it on the page, and he put the page in a high place. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a pious person to have a dream about him. And in this dream, the pious person was informed, was spoken to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was told that he perfumed my name, so I will perfume his name. He exalted me, so I will him. He perfumed me, so I will perfume him in this life and in the next. The pious person didn't give it any thought. Everybody knew Bishr to be the party animal. But he fell asleep again and he had the dream, the exact same dream, twice again. So he thought it must be true. He went and he found Bishr in the pub where he was busy drinking. And he told him, Bishr, this is what I dreamt. That touched Bishr's heart so much. That touched Bishr's heart so much that he made tawbah there and then. And he told the people of that pub, this is the last time you will see me here. He left that and he became one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Why I tell you these stories is to remind you, to give you hope. Tawbah is not for the pious people only. Tawbah is for the sinful person. Tawbah is for the person that does wrong by day and by night, as well as for the pious person. There is the door of Tawbah is never closed on you as long as you haven't breathed your last breath and your soul hasn't been removed from your throat. No matter whether you be indulged in using drugs, no matter whether it be that your main concern in life is attracting females and vice versa for the females, no matter whether it be that you lack all good qualities, Tawbah remains an option for you. Just as it remained an option for the drunkards who became the pious people of this ummah. Tawbah remains an option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us via his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith that if the people were to not sin such that they don't make tawbah, then I would have destroyed them and replaced them with the people who sin so that they can make tawbah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran of people that commit the most heinous of crimes, who do shirk, who commit zina, who kill people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us rightly that those people will be in the hellfire. But he excludes a group. He says, إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except those people who make tawbah, who turn back to Allah. And they believe in Allah and they do a righteous deed. Allah says about them, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. For those people who did all of those sins, but then they turn back to Allah and they strive to do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change all of their bad deeds into good deeds. Now Allah doesn't say that He will wipe away their bad deeds. Allah says that He will change the mountain of bad deeds into good deeds. Subhanallah, the door of hope is open for us as Muslims. We are caravans of hope. But what does it mean to make tawbah? What does it mean to have sinned and to make tawbah? Tawbah means to turn. To turn. How does it relate to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is that I was once journeying away from you, O Allah. With my actions, O Allah, I was running away from you, O Allah. But today I turn my life back to you. Despite my weaknesses, despite my sins, despite the fact that I may falter again, O Allah, I turn my life towards you again. It is reported that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, Siru ila Allahi arajan wa makasir. Travel, journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, limping and broken. Journey to Allah, limping and broken. فَلَا تَنْتَذِرُ الصِّحَةِ. Don't wait for a time when you think you're perfect. فَإِنَّ انْتِظَارُكَ الصِّحَةَ بَطَلَ. Because you're waiting for a time when you are perfect is futile. You'll never be perfect. Strive to Allah. Run to Allah. Journey towards Allah. Limping and broken. What does that mean? Despite being stooped in all kinds of wrong, let us try and turn our hearts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let our focus become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't mean by that tawbah that after that you must sit in the masjid the entire day and just make dhikrullah. No. Pursue all kinds of things in this world. Study hard. Work hard. Spend time with your family. Enjoy yourself. Give time for your salah. Make dhikrullah. But at all times do it with your heart focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work hard not so that you can attain more pleasures of this dunya alone. Work hard that you may attain wealth to help the poverty stricken. Work hard that we may better society and give them ease. Work hard that so through that we may attain the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us are perfect. But in our simple, small efforts to journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will rectify us. And so my message is for everyone, but particularly to the youth. You don't have to think yourself a pious man to try and be good. Just strive, despite the fact that you may be at school, to make your salah. Just strive when your heart or your nafs tells you to do something wrong. To text that girl at night. Tell yourself no. Perhaps the one instance that you say no will be the instance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks upon you with mercy. When your friends try to incite you to take a puff of weed or cigarettes or whatever it may be. In that moment, say no. Perhaps it's because of that one no that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. And may He ever make us. May He ever make us living in His hope. May He make us reside therein. May we be encompassed by His hope. But at the same time, may we fear. May we fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the balance of having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will tread lightly and we will attain Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us its inhabitants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn us with beautiful qualities that in this world we may become beacons of light for those people who become despondent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us be beacons through which the light of Islam is spread. With this I end. Wajazakumullahu khair. Wa akhiru da'wana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We say shukran to Mawlana Zakaria Hanika for his talk here today. Mawlana is a graduate and lecturer at Darul Uloom and Mizan Institute. Mawlana has completed the 2-year full-time course at Darul Na'im and has completed a Bachelor of Science at UCT. Mawlana is also the